Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Text Number 11. Asmilloke vatmanaha svadadamasto nagaha suchi jnanam vishuddham apnoti madbhaktimba yadrichchaya. Asmilloke vatmanaha svaradamasto nagasuchi jnanam vishuddham habnoti madhabhaktim vayadrichchaya. Asmin, in this loke, world, vattamanna, existing, svadama, in one's prescribed duty, staha, situated, anaga, free from sinful activities, suci, cleansed of material contamination, jnanam, knowledge, Vishuddham, transcendental. Apnoti, obtains. Mat, to me. Bhaktim, devotional service. Va, or yadrichchaya, according to one's fortune. Translation. One who is situated in his prescribed duty, free from sinful activities and cleansed of material contamination, in this very life obtains transcendental knowledge or, by fortune, devotional service unto me. Purport. Asmin loke indicates one's present duration of life. Before the death of one's present body, one can obtain transcendental knowledge or, by great fortune, pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. The word yadrichchaya indicates that if one somehow or other gets the association of pure devotees and hears from them faithfully, one can achieve Krishna consciousness, the highest perfection of life. According to Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura, through transcendental knowledge one obtains liberation, whereas through pure devotional service one can achieve love of God, in which liberation is automatically included. Both results are certainly superior to ordinary fruitive activities, by which one tries to enjoy much the same things that animals do. If one's devotional service is mixed with a tendency toward fruitive activities or mental speculation, then one may achieve the neutral stage of love of Godhead, whereas those who are inclined to serve only Lord Krishna advance to higher stages of love of Godhead in servitude, friendship, parental love, and the conjugal relationship. Asmin loke vatmanaha svadamasto nagasuchi jnanam vishuddham apnoti madbhaktim vayadrichchaya. One who is situated in his prescribed duty, free from sinful activities and cleansed of material contamination, in this very life obtains transcendental knowledge or by fortune devotional service unto me. So this verse, Text number 11. Krishna is continuing with this very important group of verses, beginning from verse 6. Who can recall what Krishna said in verse number 6? I wouldn't be able to remember if I didn't read it this morning as well. But it's a very important verse. Krishna describes there, and it's mentioned in the Gaudiya, Sri Gaudiya Kantaha. There's another word there. Maybe that's it. Sri Gaudiya Kantaha. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati compiled all the essential verses, which for each of the different tattvas. So for Bhakti Tattva, he's described all the very important verses in the various scriptures. And here, of course, this is part of the tattva, as to there are three different goals. Who can remember what the three different goals are that Krishna stated? What's that? He wasn't here. That wasn't one of them. Three goals. Three paths.
Three classes
of karma. You're not looking. Yeah, that's right. You can't look in the book. Well, she just did, so that proves me wrong. Karma, jnana, and bhakti. So they're the three paths. Now, in the next few verses, basically up to about verse 9, Krishna then describes who is eligible. So those verses are also included in the Sri Gaudiya Kantahara as under the topic of eligibility for karma, jnana, and bhakti. So what is the eligibility for one to remain on the path of karma?
Desire for
fruit of results. Yeah. So they're attracted to enjoying the material world. What is the eligibility to practice the path of jnana? Disgust with fruit of activities. Right? What is the eligibility to take up devotional service? Neither too much disgusted with material activities, and neither too much attached to material activities. And one more thing. Having obtained that mercy, what manifests? There's an attraction, an attraction or faith in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. And the word used in that verse, that was verse number 8, was Yadrikshaya, which is the same word used here, by good fortune, by great fortune, one gets this attraction or initial faith. And the same here is mentioned. So that word, Yadrikshaya, Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a very thorough analysis of that in his Madhurya Kadambini, describing that bhakti is self-manifest. That bhakti resides within the heart of the pure devotees. Bhakti, of course, is the internal spiritual potency of the Supreme Lord and resides within the heart of the pure devotee. Bhakti generally follows the desire, the will of the pure devotees, and by coming into contact with the pure devotees of the Lord, by the mercy of those devotees, Bhakti Devi will transfer herself from the heart of the pure devotee into the heart of the fortunate person, who then develops that little bit of attraction or initial faith in devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about the Lord. That means a person may be on the path of Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, and then having achieved the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord, they can see that that they are no longer attracted to those paths, and actually instead become more attracted to the path of Bhakti Yoga. And if they continue to that yadrichaya, that initial fortune, allows one somehow or another, without one's knowledge, one may come into contact with a devotee of the Lord somewhere in one's life, and that is called a jñāta sukriti. One doesn't know that they have done something favourable towards the devotee. They're unaware or an unwilling participant in devotional service, but simply by coming into contact with the devotee, they achieve that bhaktan mukti, mukti, or that good fortune. That good fortune manifests that at some time later on they will actually get the chance to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord knowingly, with more opportunity to actually render service to that pure devotee. So that is yadrichaya. So one's fortune to take to devotional service begins by the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. Generally through a jñāta sukriti, and then one achieves the opportunity to associate with the devotees in a more, with greater opportunity, greater facility to serve that devotee. But even without a jñāta sukriti, if one there's exceptional mercy, where even if one has not performed any, not come into contact with a devotee in the previous life, by that devotee's exceptional mercy, that person can also immediately take up devotional service and become attracted. Because exceptional mercy and exceptional potency. So we see that with Srila Prabhupada, that certainly many of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada may have had some contact with devotees in a previous life to greater or lesser extent, and that allowed them to associate with Srila Prabhupada and to get that more solid association in his company. But others had no contact, and Srila Prabhupada described that he literally made their good fortune right on the spot. There's nothing, no past history of good fortune, not through Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, and yet the exceptional potency, the exceptional mercy of a devotee can actually still transfer Bhakti Devi, or the seed of attraction to pure devotional service, within the heart of a devotee. And then that when one associates with devotees, with that initial faith, then that faith becomes very firm. Initial faith, Shraddha, that initial attraction, coupled with not being too attracted to the material energy and not being too disgusted with material life, those three factors give one the eligibility to practice devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion that even sometimes we see that some people, as he states, are very much attracted to the material energy. Still, they can also, if they have that, even though they're very attracted, very addicted to sense gratification, material life, even they can actually, if they have that initial faith, transplanted within their heart by a pure devotee, they can also take the pure devotion of service. So, therefore, we see that, and Srila Prabhupada actually mentions in the Nectar Devotion that, many people criticize Srila Prabhupada as having spoiled Hindu religion by giving shelter and giving the opportunity for devotional service to people such as the Westerners, some of whom may have been a little pious, and some of whom obviously had some previous attraction to devotional service from a previous life, but some are actually completely addicted to material life, and still Srila Prabhupada, by his exceptional mercy and exceptional potency, was still able to give them, allow them to engage in devotional service. People criticized Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada quoted many different Shastric references, of course, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said that anyone who takes birth in India should take up this highest welfare activities of spreading Krishna consciousness. Everyone who has taken a human form in India, they're eligible to take up devotional service. In fact, it's their duty, and spread Krishna consciousness. And also Lord Chaitanya also stated that one should, that in every town and village throughout the world, his name and fame would be chanted and glorified. His name will be established. So Srila Prabhupada points out that, if in every town and village Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is established, that doesn't mean that they remain yavanas and malechas and jandalas. If they're chanting the holy names of the Lord, that's established within every town and village, that means that they cannot remain yavanas, malechas. They must become Vaishnavas. So in this way, by Shastra, in many different ways, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, of course, that one who has this great fortune to take up devotional service, somehow or another, then that eligibility is there, and they should not be criticised. So this seed of Sudha Bhakti is planted within the heart of the devotee. Now, here in this verse, of course, Lord Krishna is describing that those who don't have that attraction, and I think that was in verse number 9, as one is not satiated by fruit of activities, one still very much attracted to fruit of activities, and does not awaken his taste for devotional service, they should continue to follow the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. So they're not eligible. Whereas, in verse 10, he's describing that person who basically follows that the regulative principles of karma yoga very nicely, comes to the mode of goodness and performs his fruitive activities without attachment. Gradually they also come to the point of transcendental knowledge, which is described here, and they may therefore take to the path of jnana yoga, or if they're very, very fortunate, they may take to the path of bhakti yoga, as described by associating with devotees. Lord Krishna is very clever in that in setting up the Vedic path of karma yoga and jnana yoga, in both paths, naturally one has duties or gradually develops an inclination to serve saintly personalities. And by serving saintly personalities, there's an opportunity there that among those saintly persons, some may be devotees of the Lord. So Krishna's intention, of course, is not necessarily that they practice karma yoga and jnana yoga, but his intention is that everyone practice bhakti yoga. But within those processes of karma yoga and jnana yoga, by taking association, and if by fortune the association of the devotees are able to divert them towards bhakti, even though they may continue to practice karma yoga or jnana yoga. We discussed that last week, that one should not disrupt the minds of those who are following a lesser path, but rather one should allow them to engage in their activities and yet somehow divert them to devotional service. So that's another way that we're not disrupting them. That they're very much attached to karma yoga. If they're not actually, they haven't got that taste, gradually by introducing, by diverting their attention towards hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, gradually that taste may arise in the association of devotees. So in that way we're not disturbing them, and yet we are diverting them like that. But those who have that already, that seed of attraction to devotional service, then they may immediately be brought forward to the practice of bhakti yoga without having to wait, without having to follow the processes of karma yoga and jnana yoga for a long, long time like that. But that seed of pure devotional service, Sudha Bhakti, has three different forms. It's sort of touched upon here in this verse. It has the form of Aishwarya Bhakti, or Sudha Bhakti has the form of. So Aishwarya means worshipping the Lord in opulence. Generally those who follow that path of Sudha Bhakti, pure devotional service, are very much attracted to following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, yet they're doing so in such a way that those rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, which are conducive to pure devotional service, other rules and regulations of the scriptures which are not actually conducive or may even be unfavourable to devotional service, they neglect those. They don't have to follow those, but they follow, they're very much attracted to following the rules and regulations of the scriptures which enhance pure devotional service. Aishvarya, Shuddha Bhakti. Or, Shuddha Bhakti may take the form of Aishvarya Madhurya, which means a mixture of attraction to the opulence and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with awe and reverence, plus a mixture of an attraction to the sweet form of the Lord. And then thirdly, Shuddha Bhakti may take the form of Madhurya, just pure attraction to the sweetness of the Lord's transcendental characteristics. Now, those last two, Madhurya, Aishvarya, so that mixture, and then Madhurya, pure by itself, those two forms of Shuddha Bhakti are generally followed by those who are on the path of Raga, Raga Bhakti. In the first case, the Raga Bhaktas who are attracted to a mixture of the Aishvarya opulence and Madhurya sweetness of the Lord, their Raga Bhakti, they have an intense desire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Mathura and Dwarka, and they can attain those destinations by that devotional service, whereas the Aishvarya Bhaktas, they attain Vaikuntha, whereas the Madhurya Bhaktas, they have an intense desire, lobha. So their Raga Bhakti is mixed with an intense desire to follow in the footsteps, the devotional service of the Braja, Braja Vasis. And only they, of course, can attain Goloka Vrindavan Goloka. So the Aishvarya Madhurya Bhaktas and the Madhurya Bhaktas, they can all attain Krishna Loka in different parts. Some attain Mathura Dwarka in Krishna Loka, whereas the Madhurya Bhaktas attain Goloka in Krishna Loka. So this is mentioned here in the purport. If one's devotional service is mixed with a tendency towards fruitive activities or mental speculation that one may achieve the neutral stage of love of Godhead. Whereas those who are inclined to serve only Lord Krishna advance to higher stages of love of Godhead in servitude, friendship, parental love and conjugal relationship. So this is, again, another slight taint on what we were discussing. That when we're discussing Shuddha Bhakti, it is different from Mishra Bhakti. Now, here it's describing that if one's devotional service is mixed with a tendency toward fruitive activities or mental speculation, that one may achieve the neutral stage of love of Godhead, neutrality. The Mishra Bhaktas, they have a they're performing devotional service or bhakti, but it is not pure, it is mixed, so there's still a strong desire for either fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. And that the Mishra Bhaktas, those desires predominate their devotional service. The pseudo-bhaktas, especially in the beginning, they may also have some strong material desires and even some desires for mental speculation. But the predominance of their desire and goal is pure devotional service. So that is called guni bhuta bhakti. Is it guni bhuta? Let me check that. Guni bhuta. Check my technical terms here. Yep. Guni bhuta bhakti. So, in other words, the pseudo-bhaktas, devotional service, can still be mixed with the modes of material nature. So it's described that there are 9 different processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasam, Sapyam, Apmanam, Vedanam. And each of those 9 different processes of devotional service can be mixed with the 3 different modes of material nature, which gives a variety of 81 different varieties of devotional service. But one should be careful to distinguish that the guni bhuta bhakta, the pure devotee, the suddha bhakta, even on that platform, their predominant mood, their predominant desire, their predominant goal is to attain pure love of God, even though the modes of material nature may be mixed in there with their devotional service. They're actually different from the misra bhaktas, who actually have a predominant desire for fruitive activities or, you know, mental speculation, and their that predominant desire is tinged with some bhakti. As one's devotional service becomes, as one's pure devotional service becomes purified, one comes to the platform of pradhani bhuti bhakti, which is devotional service mixed with knowledge. So they actually rise to the platform of pure devotional service, free from the modes of material nature. And that is symptomatic that they have a understanding, they have assimilated the knowledge of the Lord's glories and opulences and potencies. And then as that pure devotional service progresses, they attain kevala bhakti, pure devotional service, which is pure love. So the previous one is love mixed with knowledge. We see that in the case with Vasudeva and Devaki, who were a little bit apprehensive to just embrace their son. Sometimes they would offer their obeisances, knowing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas Nanda and Yasoda, on that platform of Kevala, their platform devotional service to Krishna is pure love. And even if knowledge is handed to them that Krishna, your son, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their pure love is so thick, so dense, that that knowledge cannot penetrate to disturb that love even in a fraction. Whereas with the, you know, when there's knowledge mixed with love, that love is not, doesn't have the same thickness. And therefore you see also with Arjuna that when he saw the universal form of the Lord, and then he began to say, you know, that, oh, you know, I have offended you, you know, I was treating you like a friend, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I've been, you know, sitting with you and eating with you and joking with you. So then you see how that natural affection become a little stifled by that transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that shraddha, or that pure devotional service by the association of the pure devotees of the Lord, it is transferred to the heart of the devotees, and they are able to become attracted and to take up the path of devotional service. That seed grows into the creeper of devotional service, and it first unfurls two leaves, one being the upper part, or the smooth inner part or upper part is of those two leaves is the kingdom of Raga Bhakti, and the outer part, a little rougher, is the Vaidhi Bhakti. So both the Vaidhi Bhaktis and the Raga Bhaktis, they gradually, by the association of devotees and perfecting their devotional service, they develop ultimately Prema Bhakti. Some of the Vaidhi Bhaktis at the stage of a Shakti, they may also become Raga Bhaktis, Raga Bhaktis. Some remain Vaidhi Bhaktis and still develop Prema, and their destination is Vaikuntha. Some actually develop Raga Bhakti later on, and then they also become attracted to the devotional service of either the, you know, those residents in Mathura, Dwarka or Vrindavan. The Prema Bhakti of the Raga Bhakti is described as much thicker and much sweeter by its nature. And the Raga Bhaktis, generally Raga Bhakti is taken up, you know, when one is purified of material contamination. So generally that refers to a Shakti, free from the modes of material nature. But actually, from a previous lifetime, sometimes that desire to, you know, strong desire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan may spontaneously be there very early in a devotee's life. You know. But still, in order to practice, that inclination may be there, but still to practice it properly, one has to be free from material contamination. So, just to summarize, that if one is very, very fortunate, one can develop the seed, one can acquire the seed of pure devotional service, Sudha Bhakti, within one's heart, and one should be careful to understand that that seed of Sudha Bhakti is different from those who are practicing Misra Bhakti. And there are many varieties of the Sudha Bhaktas, as there are some varieties of the Misra Bhaktas. So, any questions or comments? Bhaktisiddhanta? I'm trying to, what did I say? Oh, Sri Gaudiya Kantahara. No. What I've said there is really a summary of the essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So all of this is Srimad Bhagavatam. But those essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam have been elaborated upon in Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sri Harinam Chintamani by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some sources like that. And of course the commentaries of the acharyas, Srila Vallabhdhaya Vidyavasan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, on verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Some of that is discussed. Srila Prabhupada's purports in the 10th canto. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Shikshamrita and Jayavadhamma. Yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his Sri Gaudiya Kantahara, gives the essential verse. So, for instance, if we take Bhakti Tattva, there are essential points that one should understand in progression from the beginning of one's understanding to understanding the final conclusions of bhakti. And for each of those essential steps of understanding, he gives an essential verse. He quotes from Shruti, so the original Vedas, the Upanishads, and then he'll give the version of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So he quotes, he'll give the version of Shruti and Smriti, but just the essential verses. And other acharyas, in following that line of what are the essential things to understand about any particular tattva, they elaborate upon those verses in their commentaries and sometimes in different books. So Sri Gaudiya Kantahara is very nice to go through like that, because you can take any of the different tattvas, Krishna tattva, Jiva tattva, Shakti tattva, and you can understand, you can see, oh, these are the essential things that I need to know, and then I know Shakti tattva, then I can understand Jiva tattva. And then, as you may look at a particular verse and want to expand upon that, and you'll find that some of the acharyas have done that for us. But all of that is actually derived from the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. This word in this verse, Yadrichchaya, has been commentated upon by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur extensively in many different commentaries. It's a very, very key word in this group of slokas. Any other questions? Yep.
So when you talk about the Radha Bhakti, it is like making from condemned, it is like rubbing, if you get involved in this. You condemn the milk more and more, it becomes thicker and thicker.
Yes,
it's rubbing.
It's a fact. That pure devotional service is like that. It has, a beginning, sort of more diluted, but sweet taste, but it can be condensed to be very concentrated, very powerful, and very, very sweet. And each of those different stages of sweetness and condensed, what do they call that? Viscosity? Is it? Yeah. Viscosity. Each of those different stages coincides with a particular stage of devotional service. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.